Crystal Nugs is Sacramento's first 100% minority and woman-owned licensed marijuana home delivery service. One of its owners, Maisha Bahati, joins me to talk about her business journey next on Studio Sacramento. Maisha, what makes a successful fashion designer jump into the cannabis industry?
Business opportunity.
How so?
Well, I did fashion for 12 years. I didn't know what I was going to do with it. I thought it was just going with the flow. I think when it became a business, I started to not like it as much. It's an expensive industry to get into, to get started.
But you had such great early success. You worked with people that were on television and different shows.
That was the hustle of it. There's to get to stores in the your clothes in stores, it's a long road to get there. What I was doing was trying to get my name out there. So I was taking advantage of any opportunity to get my name out. And it worked locally here. You know, I think I made a name for myself locally, but it wasn't moving fast enough for me.
And the television shows that you were involved with were which ones?
I dressed a couple of reality stars on Housewives of Atlanta and Married to Medicine. There are two shows based about Atlanta. I dressed like Karen White for her album cover. So I dressed a few celebrities here and there.
Did you ever get to go on the sets of those shows or get to know any of those
women? I didn't. It was all kind of done via social media. I'd be contacted. I considered those to be really big opportunities. So a lot of times they would order something or they would request something that I didn't have. So I'd be up till like 3 o'clock in the morning trying to create this piece to ship it out to get to them on time. I never got on the set. It was just more, can you ship your pieces here? Sometimes I got them back, sometimes I didn't. But it was just, it was the road. You do what you have to do.
The thought is that going into business, regardless of what sector you go into, mm-hmm. is as much about learning life lessons as it is profit. From those early days in fashion, what life lessons did you learn that apply to your new world today?
I just learned that you have to go out there and you have to get it, like you do. No one's gonna come to you. So if you want your name out there, if you wanna make something of yourself in that industry, you have to go out there and get it. So I had to, and I'm a very quiet, kind of just calm person, but I had to really talk to people. I had to make phone calls and emails, and you don't get a lot of those back. So it kind of builds up your armor to deal with bigger and better things. It was a lot of work and it was a lot of money, and I didn't have a lot of money at the time. So I was working a full-time job and doing this on the side. It wasn't until I met my husband that I kind of transitioned into a new career, still in fashion. He had had a hat patent. It was called Snap School. And we actually ended up getting 11 colleges licensed with our product, Sac State being one of them. And that process took about 5 years. We were in talks with Walmart, Lids, but it just, again, it did not go anywhere. We could not get our hats in these college stores. I mean, we were from Sacramento, like Sac State. We had about 10 different styles, and we just got nowhere.
And you're from Sacramento.
I am from Sacramento.
South Sacramento, what high
Meadow
school?
Meadowview. I went to John F. Kennedy High School.
You lived in Meadowview?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so did I.
Yeah.
So did I. And, you know, given the fact you went away to school and then came back here, what drew you back to Sacramento? Why make your business career, your entrepreneurial career here?
Well, it's where my family is from. I mean, primarily, my family was here. And I believe that as an entrepreneur, you can make your base anywhere. So I figure if I can make it in Sacramento, if I can make it in my hometown, I should be able to make it anywhere. So family came back. And when I came back from college, I didn't know anything about fashion design. I didn't really develop that till I was 26 and I taught myself how to sew. It was a hobby. People started to like it. I started to make more clothes. I started doing fashion shows. Before you know it, I was doing Sacramento Fashion Week. I was in magazines. I was being interviewed. So I had a nice ride.
And this shirt that you're wearing right now, mm-hmm. one of your creations?
This is from my Bougie Stoner collection. And it's a duster with pockets.
I see.
So, I love to sew.
And so you're doing fashion. Mm-hmm. When did you first identify the opportunity in cannabis?
I don't know exactly when. We were following kind of the legalization of it. This is in 2016. I just remember when Prop 64 passed, and my husband and I said, gosh, let's just try it. And so started the 2.5 year trek to get here.
And Crystal Nugs, tell us about your business.
Crystal Nugs is a delivery service for cannabis. We're a non-storefront delivery, so we're not a dispensary in the sense you can't come, but we're like a dispensary on wheels. You go to our website, you order your product, we get that to you, and our goal is to be there in less than an hour.
Okay, so you're out Amazoning Amazon within your world?
We are. We're out Amazon. We get to you, gosh, we deliver with all in Sacramento. And we can get to you, I think our longest delivery was like 45 minutes, so we're doing pretty good.
That's pretty impressive. That is giving Amazon a run for their money.
You got to be competitive.
Tell us about the journey between the time that you decided to go into this business and you were able to get licensed, because we hear a lot about that it is extremely challenging to go through that process.
It is. It was. None of us had any prior knowledge of marijuana. This was all new to us. We went on the website and there was an application and 1,000 regulations you had to start with. We just kind of dove into it. We literally printed out the application. The hardest part of the process was finding property. When it became legal, you had everyone. You know, we were dealing with millions of dollars, like people who had that to spend on property. It took us a year to find a property.
A property for what?
You had to have a location.
Okay.
You have to have a physical location.
Even if
location.
You're not a dispensary.
Right, because even though you're delivery, you still have to have a location to house your product. So on went the hunt for the proper zoned property. Now, understand that anything with cannabis is like tripled in price. I didn't think we were going to make it that far. I mean, we were dealing with a lot of shady people. We at one point had someone, they wanted $100,000 down and $5,000 a month. And we were trying to do that. I mean, that's how determined we were to get into this business. We were going to sell our homes. We have our primary residence, our rental. We were willing to sell our homes. We had properties that normally were like maybe $250,000. They were selling for $575,000.
Wow.
So that's what we were dealing with. Because it's still federally illegal, you couldn't get a loan from a bank. So we were kind of doing some processing with some kind of cannabis loan that didn't really fall through. We were up against a deadline. We had to have our application submitted or, you know, you're in line with 100 other people. So, we came into properties that people just weren't comfortable leasing because they didn't want the feds to come with them. We ran into that a lot. We finally found, it's a warehouse, but the company we were leasing, and they have like 10 different deliveries in that warehouse. However, when we found that location, it was just an empty warehouse. So, it took a year for that to be built out.
For the public who's not involved with the industry, mm-hmm. what have you learned during your time in the industry that would surprise us most about not only what's here, but what's coming in the future?
Marijuana, cannabis is bigger than we all think.
Really?
There are a lot of consumers of cannabis that we wouldn't think. I mean, you're dealing with professional people, you're dealing with housewives, you're dealing with 9-to-5, you know, you're just dealing with a spectrum of people. That's not really the image we have. You know, most of us who really didn't know anything about it, you think of it as, you know, a young kind of hippie stoner. No, it's everyday professional people who utilize it for whatever reason, whether it's medicated, whether they just want to, you know, recreational use. But it's a lot of people, and it across the board.
One of the things that has been a point of major controversy is that when cannabis was illegal, mm-hmm. and technically it still is according to the feds, mm-hmm. this was a business that by and large, the imagery was either stoners on one side or inner city folks on the other. Mm-hmm. And those are the folks that typically got prosecuted and to this day are incarcerated for selling cannabis.
Correct.
Yet, since it's been legalized, the image of who is in that business tends to be the more millennial, intrepid, entrepreneurial, you know, sort of image. Mm-hmm. And the folks that had been in the business before have kind of been left behind. What's been your experience?
That is very true. I have followed the CORE program. That's a program that Sacramento implemented to help those affected by the war on drugs in the 80s to become part of the cannabis. I haven't necessarily been affected so much. We didn't have any help when we started. We just kind of went in there and we financed it ourselves. It is not a lot of color in this industry from what I've been in a room with 100 people and it's been maybe, you know, 5 African-American people. So,
API, Hispanic?
The minority is very low. Minority okay. population, Hispanic, Asian, Indian. I mean, it's very low. When you think about cannabis, it is majority Caucasian male. That just dominates it. So I am encouraged to get more people of color, more women involved. I think a lot of people are scared. You're dealing with the government. It's heavily regulated. You have to do fingerprint and background checks. But, I mean, if we can do it, anybody can do it. I mean, there is room, and it is growing. It's growing, and if you can get in there now, I haven't experienced any racism more so. I mean, we all have to go through one door to get in here. So I know it can be intimidating, especially for people of color dealing with, you know, just the police and the war on drugs, but we deserve to be here. Why not? You know, it's open to all of us. We just have to be persistent and get in here, but I encourage it.
Those last words, would that also apply to being a female entrepreneur?
Of course. Of course. I mean,
what's that like?
Being a female entrepreneur in cannabis, it's exciting to me. It's very exciting to me. This is something I've been waiting for, my big break. I have been, I guess, an entrepreneur since I was 26. I'm 43 now. So I have been trying to get to a place where I was working for myself completely. And I'm still not there yet. I still have a 9-to-5 job that I'm hoping that will end very soon with this. But it's exciting. I've gotten a lot of support. A lot of support from community. A lot of consumers like to come to us because we are women. They feel like it's a little bit more comfortable. They feel like they can ask certain questions that they may not be able to do in more of a male-dominated area. And that's exciting to me because I don't want to just be somewhere where you just buy product. I want you to be comfortable coming to us. I mean, it's cannabis. A lot of people are still kind of on the fence about it. There's so many products out there, a lot for medical purposes, to be honest with you. A lot of topicals, creams, we have a lot of clients with arthritis, a lot of women who just aches and pains and headaches and menstrual cramps. So it's not, we're not just pushing this product. We want you to enjoy. We want you to find something that helps you. So being a woman, I feel like I connect on a different level.
That's interesting. There is a group of people who've resisted the legalization of cannabis, and they talk about that in many cases, these products are being consumed and utilized by communities who have the least ability to manage the use of those products and not be exploited by them, or their access to children or spaces where it is that children might be compromised by that. You run a mobile service, but do you have any thoughts on how it is that your industry and society should think about how cannabis is integrated into community in a way to maintain its safety for not just the consumers of the product, but the broader community?
Well, that's been a huge issue just in the regulations is safety, of course. First and foremost, products are secure. They're childproof. I mean, they are insanely hard to open. So as far as kids getting a hold of them, I feel like we're pretty comfortable with that. As far as just the community and how they feel about marijuana being brought into their communities, I understand. I do understand. I mean, it is considered a Category 1 drug still. But I think we are trying to educate, to let them know it's not... That's a tough one. That's a tough one, Scott. That's a tough one.
When you think about it, it's interesting because your model of delivery makes it so that way there's not a primary site, you know, within a neighborhood or something like that. Mm-hmm. So some people might say that's a better way to go because you're delivering directly to the end consumer itself rather than having a storefront. But do you have a disadvantage because of the fact that you don't have a storefront?
I don't think so. When we got into this industry, we were hungry. We were hungry, and everything that I had done prior to fashion, my contacts, I said, I have an advantage even over dispensaries because I'm talented, I'm creative, I'm a woman. I can market this product to people like me, I'm a mother. So delivery is the new thing. People like that discreetness. They don't wanna walk into it. You know, sometimes you have to drive maybe an hour to get to a dispensary. It's just like Amazon. If it can get to you in less than an hour, it's more convenient. Like I said, discretion is a huge thing. We get so many people who want to be very discreet about it. We abide by that. I think delivery is great. It's no different than dispensary. It's just that we are mobile and we get to you. We carry the same product, same cost. It's just more convenient to you.
One of the things that supposedly has led to really big players coming in and swamping more independent business people like yourself from getting into this business has been the problems with money. And it's not just raising money like getting a loan or something like that, but it's actually dealing with commerce itself because of a lack of positive regulations and laws on banking. How is it that people in your industry are dealing with those issues? Small business people who don't necessarily have huge amounts of capital and have to figure out how to transact business every day.
If you decide to get into this industry, you're entering knowing that, you know, there is no banking, that you're kind of on your own. It's a dog eat dog industry. That's what it is. It's new. So many people want to be a part of it. It hasn't really posed a problem. I mean, you just do what you have to do. You take the proper precautions. you know, we have a few other businesses that we can pull from. So that's been in our benefit. It's very expensive. And to compete with these bigger businesses, like I said, you get a lot of these LA companies that have millions of dollars in budgeting, and they come out here and they advertise, and us little people who may not have as, we have to be more creative. When we got in here, we said, we're gonna have to do what we have to do. Like, we're gonna have to run with the big boys. So I was telling you before, we got billboard at Cal Expo, digital billboard. They just opened that for cannabis as marketing. We're on that billboard with a multi-million dollar cannabis company out of LA. You know, they have like 8 billboards right now in Sacramento. They're not even from here. So for us to get that platform as a local company, that lets you know that you can do it. You gotta be creative. You gotta have your stuff together. You have to understand that for you to make it, you gotta, you know, everyone's trying to be the first at all of this, and you have to be ready. So that's what we did.
And as you compete, mm-hmm. with quote unquote the big boys, as you call them, what do you think is going to be your sustainable edge on how it is that you're going to stay that much further ahead from people that are better capitalized than you are, or maybe have more resources to bring to bear with regards to marketing and things like that?
We have the streets. We're from Sacramento. So we have access that these bigger companies don't. We are women. We are people of color. We're the minority of this. We have the support of Sacramento. I feel like you're going to support here. You know, we have access to people that these big companies don't, because they don't know. So yeah, we have the streets. We have people. We know people that own businesses here that we can talk to and say, hey, do you want to collab? They can't do that. They're not going to do that. Why would they do that? They're going to pay to get a billboard up there. You know, you can't really do on-air advertising. It's pretty much social media and kind of the billboards. I have a presence in Sacramento. I'm going to use that.
Yeah, I was curious about that, about how you get the word out. The billboard is great. That's mm-hmm. new for you. But how do companies get the word out? Is it all social media?
Word and that's of mouth? Even tricky. We've had our Instagram business page deleted like 3 times already. Cannabis is tricky. That you have to follow certain guidelines. You pretty much can't duplicate the sale, which is really hard to do. But social media, I mean, like I said, I'm a designer. So for example, I made this shirt. I can advertise this. Not everybody can do that. You kind of put two and two together. You have to be creative. And like I said, I have a presence here in Sacramento, and I just use that to my ability. I am going to go on the fashion angle. There's nobody doing that.
How are you going to do that? Are you going to use hemp in order to weave with? Or
no, I'm actually, I'm going to design my own textile. See, that's a benefit. When you're a fashion designer, you know how to do this. There's nobody in cannabis right now, I guarantee you, is an established fashion designer. So I'm going to use that to my ability. There is a market. There are women who are proud of that. There are a lot of women who are advocates of this. I mean, this is their soul. They put their soul into helping legalize marijuana. They would love to wear this. They would feel proud to wear this. I'm a designer. That's what I do. I create. So for me to create something that kind of brings you together, and there's nothing else like that out there. I mean, there's very few designers. Again, it's still taboo. People are slowly catching on. So I'm just doing something I love with a different fabric.
And how do you think, you say it's still taboo, mm-hmm. how do you see that shifting as time passes? Will cannabis be no different than us going to the grocery store and buying liquor at a certain point?
At a certain point, we're going to get there. We're only like a little over a year into it legally in Sacramento or in California. you know, 11 states are legalized so far. They're coming. They're coming. I think once the budgets get right, the money starts flowing in as the states are predicting, it's going to get there. I mean, there are a lot of medical purposes with marijuana, and they're really pushing that. CBD is huge now. There's no THC in that, so it's not going to get you quote-unquote high. It's a lot of people use it if they have cancer, for health issues, if they don't want to ingest pills or so forth. So that's really being pushed. And I think the more people realize that there are alternative benefits to health, it's just going to gravitate more people to the program.
More to come on Crystal Nugs. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that's our show. Thanks to our guests, and thanks to you for watching Studio Sacramento. I'm Scott Syphax. See you next time right here on KVIE.
Thank you for listening to Studio Sacramento from KVIE Public Television. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes to help others find it.
All episodes of Studio Sacramento, along with other KVIE programs, are available to watch online at kvie.org/video.